Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio. My name is Karen Krejcha, and I'm the Executive Director for Autism Empowerment. I'm also your host for today's show. As you heard in our pre-recorded intro, Autism Empowerment is a nonprofit 501c3 charity. We're based out of Vancouver, Washington, and we aim to serve and support individuals of all ages and abilities within the autism and Asperger communities locally, nationally, and worldwide. We also serve spectrum families, caregivers, educators, and service providers. The date this show is being recorded is Wednesday, February 6th, 2013. This is our 49th show since launching in June of 2012. We invite you to check out our previous broadcasts by subscribing to our podcast at blogtalkradio.com/autismempowerment or finding the Autism Empowerment podcast through iTunes. You can also go to autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. All of our previous broadcasts can be downloaded and shared for free, so please feel free to check those out and share with those you think who might be interested. In just a minute, I'll be bringing on my special guest, Jonathan Murphy, a professional voiceover artist and actor from the San Francisco Bay Area. Jonathan's also on the autism spectrum, first receiving an Asperger's diagnosis when he was 13. Before I bring Jonathan on air, I want to give a special thanks to my last guest, Matt Friedman, who's a cartoonist, writer, and creator of the popular book and online cartoon, Dude, I'm an Aspie. If you're looking for a way to explain your Asperger's traits or your child's Asperger traits in a way to others that's clear and fun, check out the Dude, I'm an Aspie books for both children and adults at dudeimanaspie.com. We like to have an interesting mix of guests on our show, and our upcoming lineup is pretty great. Be sure to tune in on Friday, February 8th at noon, because we're going to be interviewing Joey Shadler, who is an Eagle Scout on the autism spectrum from Mississippi, doing great things mentoring other scouts and advocating against bullying. In the week after, we'll be having shows about Autism Empowerment's Autism and Scouting Leadership Training Program. We'll be talking about Valentine's Day, and then on Friday, February 15th, Michelle Garcia Winner from socialthinking.com will be joining us on air to talk about her upcoming conference in Tacoma. At Autism Empowerment Radio, our goal is to promote acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger communities. If you know of anyone who might make a great guest for our show, please contact us at www.autismempowerment.org. Remember, Autism Empowerment is about all of us. It's listeners and supporters like you that allow Autism Empowerment Radio to be on air and get the word out to others. Are you on Facebook or Twitter? Well, go ahead and like us, follow us, and give us a shout-out. We can be found at facebook.com/autismempowerment and facebook.com/autismempowerment radio. Please share our message with your online network, your in-person network, and however you think you can help, whatever that looks like for you, we truly appreciate it. We're looking to expand our show and the nonprofit services that Autism Empowerment offers as an organization and are looking for your sponsorship and support. Together daily, we can all work to make positive change in the world we live in. Well, Autism Empowerment Radio listeners, I'm really excited about our next guest. Normally at this point, I'd give a verbal introduction, but today I'm mixing it up. So listen in. I've got something really cool for you.
Now, all humans will die.
Oh, Harold! Harold, we have to get going now!
Ha ha ha, puny earthlings! Never fear, for I will save you!
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. I always get blamed for these things.
Prepare, all forces. Load the Viper pilots. Now, attack!
Look, man, I'm trying to tell you. I don't have the information you're looking for. No, no, no. Oh boy.
I say, do you smell something burning?
Wait, Tomba! Wait here!
I'm gonna go check it out!
Now all humans, you will be assimilated into my system.
Yeah, man! We're gonna party like it's...
Where's the cops?
Now, combine! Murdacron, who do you think I am?
Hey, kids! Welcome to the Wubba Wacky Fun Time! Yay!
Excuse me. Could somebody please tell me, where am I?
Water. Water. I need water. Oh boy. This is not gonna end very well.
Well, that was fun. The voice, or I guess I should say voices, you heard were from Jonathan C. Murphy. You'll get a chance to hear other examples of Jonathan's voice acting today at Autism Empowerment Radio, and you're also going to hear his most important voice, his own. We'll be asking him questions about his acting and voiceover career and give him center stage to share about his life story. I'm really interested in hearing more about him, and I'm sure you are too, so without any further delay, let's bring him on air. Jonathan, welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio.
Oh, boy. I haven't heard that in a long time. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, that was really fun to hear. I love all of the different voices that were included in that demo. I have to say, personally, I love acting, and I've got a fascination for voiceover work. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come on air at Autism Empowerment Radio. And I was hoping you might tell our listeners a little about yourself.
Well, my name is Jonathan Murphy. I am 27 years old. I have been a professional voice actor for roughly 5 years of going on now, and I'm an ASPE, ironically.
Are they surprised when they find out you're an ASPE?
Yes.
I am.
Especially when I do stuff like stage work and film work and stuff, where I have to really interact and talk with the audience. And
it's interesting because I'm an ASPE too, and I get the same thing, but there's something different about being on stage. There's just really something different than our daily lives. So how did you get started with acting?
Well, ever since I was little, I loved cartoons, and I remember, I think it was about 15 or 16 when I discovered Voice One in the City, which has kind of become the center for my education in voiceover. And I took a couple classes here and there, but I didn't really start doing it professionally until, like I said, roughly in my 20s. And I didn't really get into acting in general. It didn't really become my big thing until I was about 18, when I discovered, oh, hey, I'm pretty good at this. Something I can do with my life. And I enjoy it.
And it's wonderful that you found that. You mentioned that you had quite a bit of training. Can you share with us about that? What kind of training did you go through?
Well, for the voiceover, I've had different training for different things. For my theater and for a little bit of my on-camera training, I studied at Foothill College under the Foothill Theater Conservatory, and which is a great place. It was a 2-year intensive program where it was just focusing on the fundamentals of acting and various theories that went around and many different things, like not just acting, but singing, dance, directing, stage managing, on film, on camera work. Very intensive. And then for voiceover, I trained at Voice One, which is located in the city. And it's run by a woman named Elaine Clark, and she's great. She's been in the business for a long time. And the best thing about her is she really knows a lot of people who are in the industry, agents, directors, producers, talent agency, talent coordinators, and actors here and in L.A., and they come and they teach classes for her, and that's kind of who I've gotten the chance to meet and study under great people because of Voice One.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, I would imagine that being able to study with somebody who has contacts in the industry, who's been around for quite some time, helps give you an edge when you're going to auditions and you're creating your demo reels, kind of having an idea of what others are looking for.
Yeah, she actually she worked on my demo with me. That demo you listened to was directed by her.
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised that you get work. That was just amazing. Of course,
yeah.
You actually have, you know, I was listening through. If people are listening in now, they can go to your website, which is johnincharacter.com, and there are a variety of different demo reels that John has there. And I was trying to pick out which one would be the best. There's so many that are really good. Did she work with you on all of the different demo reels you have?
No. She only did my commercial and my character one, that one. All the rest, the other little sound things are pretty much me.
I understand you
me
have...
Me working with my mom.
And working with your mom. You have... I read in an article online by Laura Schumacher, I believe, at SF Gate, that you and your
mm-hmm.
family have built your own home studio. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, it's a closet.
It's a closet.
It's a closet.
But you're able to record there, right?
Yes. Well, what we did was we put in this sound, this foam, I forget what it's called, that absorbs sound. And we lined the walls with it. And then we got a really great USB mic that I used to record. And we've got, like, a little spit shield to prevent, like, you know, me spitting all over and kind of stop certain, like, P's and D's and plosives. And we have it on a stand, and I have a little stool in case I need to do something more low-key to sit down. And I bring my laptop in there, and I basically record it on Audacity, which is one of the many different sound recording programs you can find online. And then I just, you know, I make it into an MP3 and I send it away.
So that's it. You could actually do then auditions or different voiceover work directly then from your laptop at home?
Yeah, actually nowadays, due to the advent of email and, you know, stuff like that, that's how a majority of auditions are done. I mean, I've heard stories from Voice One of this one guy who, you know, he would go on a cruise and he would bring a portable version of a little studio, and, you know, if they needed him, he'd record there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just kind of cruising along, doing my work while I'm hanging out. That's
exactly.
Great. You're represented by Look Talent Agency in San Francisco. Do they
mm-hmm.
find... Do they send out samples of your auditions and get auditions for you that way, or do you still have to do a lot of marketing and self-promotion on your own?
It's kind of both. Sometimes they'll bring in work for me to audition for. I get an email from them saying that, you know, we need this by this certain time, and they give me the script, and I would record it and send it off. But sometimes I would do it on my own. The good thing about having an agent is it opens you up to a variety of websites. Like, one example is SF Casting, which is, I think you can only be a part of if you have an agency in San Francisco. And they have job postings all the time. And I'm also online for voices.com. I find jobs there, or sometimes I even get jobs through other people. Like, I've gotten some auditions from Voice One.
That's great. Now, if you have an audition that you find on your own or a job that you find on your own, then does it still go through Look Talent, or is that something that you would individually contract for?
I would individually contract for. It's only the stuff from Look Talent, you know, that they took their time and did all the arrangements on their end that, you know, it would go through them. If it's something that I found on my own, it would just all be me.
Okay, that's great. And you mentioned they're out of San Francisco, but I would imagine being able to send your voice online to anywhere nowadays, you might be able to get work in other areas. How does that work if you live in one location but the job's in another place?
Well, I haven't really been able to. There are on certain websites, you could find various jobs from other locations. haven't really been able to look into that yet because I'm trying to build up my resume here, trying to build up a kind of a reputation here. But eventually I know I'm going – if I wanted to work in a place like L.A. or even Vancouver, because I know there's a lot of work up there, especially in the animation industry, it would behoove me to find some kind of representation there. Now, I, like I said, it's something I would have to look into, but it's not just out of the city. I mean, I'm sure you can find stuff all over places. I did a job for somebody who lives down in the East Coast. So you never really know who you're going to end up working for and how far away they're going to be from you.
Yeah, and, you know, they may hear your voice and say, hey, you know, I've got to have John. Find me this man and have him record something for me. I know that you've done, in addition to the voiceover, you've also done, haven't you done in, film industrial work as well? I believe there was something for Oracle, I think, that you did?
Yes. Yes, I did that.
And
that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Now, an industrial, for our listeners out there who don't know what that is, can you describe that, please?
An industrial is kind of, it's kind of like a commercial, but for the industry. For what we did was we kind of did sort of a sketch, a comedy, a little comedy sketch of, it was so long ago. It was a presentation for the employees at Oracle.
Oh, okay.
The employees of Oracle would have one of their, you know, their big, large industrial meetings that they all have. They all get together, and they would watch that. And it was, I think it was explaining. Like I said, it was a long time ago since
that's
happened.
Okay.
I think it was explaining some kind of new procedure that they were going to have.
Okay. Yeah, I think that it's really neat that you can use your voice to get a variety of different kinds of work. In fact, one of those kinds of work is that I heard that you're the voice of Great America in Santa Clara. Now, I grew up in Mountain View, and I can share my age. It's no big deal. I don't care about that kind of thing. But I was, I'm 45, and I went to Great America when they first opened, the very first year. So I've been there almost every single year since it opened, and now my parents still live in Mountain View, and so when we travel back once a summer to visit them, we always take our kids, and we always go to Great America. And I am sure now, I mean, it's really great because you walk through the park, you always hear, you know, different voices at different rides and just, you know, over the loudspeakers. And I'm sure we've heard your voice many times. So I really would appreciate if you could tell us about your work at Great America, how that came about, and what it is that you do.
Well, about five or so years ago, Great America, I auditioned and started working Great America on the very last year that they were owned by Paramount. And when they were owned by Paramount, most of their entertainment and shows that they have there were all done by Nickelodeon. So, you know, being done by Nick, they had all these different different Nick characters. I remember my first job was being in the Nickelodeon parade, and that was all kind of announced by SpongeBob. They didn't have, since they sold, you know, they're now owned by Cedar Fair, they didn't have those voices anymore. And the man who was in charge of the entertainment department at that point was a man named Patrick Nalen, very nice man. You know, I think I told him mentioned that I did voiceover and I'm trying to break into the business. And he said, great. And they were putting together, so they didn't have the parade anymore. They were putting together their Halloween haunt, which now happens every October, a month-long thing. And they wanted to know if I would be the voice of the Overlord, which is kind of like the head mascot of the park. And I said, yes. So I did the work. I listened to who they had on the radio, and I matched him. And they were all very impressed with how I worked very well and worked very quickly, how quickly I managed to get through. I was already employed as kind of an actor for the haunt, as a talent for the haunt, but I did that in addition, and just, you know, how impressed people were and how impressed, you know, the corporate was, that I started, in the next years, I started doing more of their show announcements, doing their announcements before shows, and even announcing throughout the park when the show will start, like it'll start in 15 minutes. And that was, gave me a lot more variety, and I had a lot of fun doing that.
Can you give some examples of what some of the voices that you did for Great America sound like?
Sure. Well, you want me to actually do the voice?
If you want to.
Okay.
If you don't, that's fine too. Either way.
I think I'll save that for the end. I'll definitely do the Overlord voice.
Okay.
Later on.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Well, most of the voices were actually my voice just announcing, you know, the show will start in just 15 minutes. See you guys there. Also, it also let me some opportunities. I was the Overlord for 1 year, the Overlord for other Cedar Fair parks, including Cedar Point, which is their flagship park, and that was really awesome.
Ah, did they give you a chance to go back there as well and visit the park, or did you record from here in the Bay Area?
We recorded from here in the Bay Area, and we just sent it off to them.
You know, my children, when they found out that you were the voice of Great America, that's what they called you, they had a few questions. So I hope you don't mind getting a couple questions from my kids so that they can listen in later and hear your answers. The first one, and this was from my youngest, asked if you get to go to Great America for free forever.
Unfortunately, not forever, but... because they're seasonal and they make you sign contracts when you get hired, and it changes like every year. But if I'm whenever you're employed, if you work for Great America, no matter what you do, whether it's, you know, be an actor there or be a performer, be a person on the rides who works on the rides, you can get in there for free.
Okay. So our youngest will be happy to know that. What rides can people go to hear your voice, or what shows?
I didn't voice any of the rides. I think I only voiced one ride, which was the that tower, the Sky Tour, the spinny tower.
Oh, yeah.
Up there. I did that, but I don't think it's my voice anymore. As far as shows go, I've been in pretty much all of their shows, their show announcements. I've done their hoedown. I've done their karaoke show. I've done their musical shows. The only things I haven't done show-wise are, you know, the concerts where they bring in, you know, bands and stuff from all over. And, or, you know, even if you're just wandering in the park, you'll hear on the loudspeakers all throughout the park, you'll hear my voice.
That's pretty neat. You know, we were talking before we went on air, and I asked you, and I'd like to kind of ask you again on air too, what's it like when you're like walking through the park and suddenly you hear your own voice coming over the loudspeakers?
Awkward. Really, really, really odd for me. If you talk to any voice actor, well, most voice actors, they normally find the sound of their own voice kind of strange, just to hear, because it sounds so different when you're in your head than it does played back for you. And most of the time it's my own voice, so it's like, oh boy. Plus it's played so often, I always worry that, I always have that little suspicion that, if an employee there ever finds out that I'm that guy, they're going to be like really annoyed with me.
They're going to transfer that over.
Yeah, yeah. But surprisingly, anybody who's found out, you know, that discovers who I am always has nice things to say, like, oh, wow, that's cool, man. It's just great to finally put a face to the voice. And you do the Overlord, too? Wow, that's awesome. That's really nice.
I mean, it's your talent is just obvious. I mean, to anybody who listened to that demo reel earlier, I mean, it's just, you know, we can tell you have a gift and a natural talent for that. So I'm sure people are kind of like a little bit starstruck or just a little, wow, hey, that's really neat that you do that, you know. Are there any, what other voiceover work have you done that you'd like to share with us? And do you have anything special that's coming up?
Well, I have done some work, I've gone out for some commercials. I've done a couple jobs for Creativity Inc., which is a local down in the Bay Area kind of toy manufacturer. I did a job a couple months ago for EA for a new Sims game. So I'm a couple background characters in that. I have done a few toy jobs. I've gone out to do several auditions for games. I've done a book app, which is from the guy who's over across the state. I've done several book apps, and right now I'm working on just, you know, stuff for my website, and I just did a job for Creativity Inc. today, this morning, before I came here, and you know, now I just have to see what's next. Just gotta take them as they come.
It's got to be fun because you're getting a different challenge every single time. You don't necessarily know always what's coming up next. What's the best part of what it is that you do?
I think for me, well, mostly it's just the fact that I can kind of just play, that I can do all the silly voices, or even when I'm on stage or in camera, you know, I get to pretend and kind of make believe and really become someone and something else. And that kind of thing is just fun for me. It's like, you know, I'm doing what I like to do as a kid, and I'm getting paid for it. It's like the best thing in the world.
How cool is that to get paid for doing what you love?
Yeah.
You know, I know from also from reading your resume that in addition to your voiceover work, you've also done a lot of theater work, and you've performed at the Mountain View Center for Performing Arts, which I think is cool since I'm from Mountain View, but you've also performed at theaters throughout the Bay Area. What do you like about being on stage?
I think the thing I like the most about being on stage over, if I had to say over like voiceover or camera work, it's that it feels alive. Like it feels, the audience is there and it all feels sort of organic. Like, you know, you can, if you mess up, if you like flub a line or something when you're performing in the camera or in the voiceover, they can just, you know, go back and correct it. Most of the time in theater, you can't really do that. So I always find it, I know I'm in the minority in this, but I always find it to be the most exciting when, you know, something not major, hopefully, but if something kind of gets a little messy and you know, if you're really, really like in the moment, it just makes it feel more real. And I love getting the audience reaction, and I love working with other actors because you can, you do things performing, your performance changes when you're with somebody else. Somebody could influence you to make different choices, whether you're by yourself. Now, you're not by yourself all the time in voiceover, but most of the time you are. And just to have that other kind of, just to have that interaction, it just makes everything, I mean, I know why a lot of big famous movie stars and stuff love doing the theater work, because there's just nothing more thrilling about it than just being there live with the audience and the other actors.
And I understand that you do a lot of different types of acting. You do both children's theater. You've done Shakespearean theater. Do you have a preference on the kind of work that you take in theater? Or do you enjoy all of it?
I honestly enjoy them all for different reasons. I enjoy children's theater a lot because it's very simple to learn, and no audience is more giving in terms of their reactions and more fun to play to and more responsive than children. The Shakespeare stuff is rewarding for its challenge and, the fact that you're playing it very serious and with other adult actors who are all there with you. And it all offers its own challenges and its own rewards.
And I'm thinking, too, I mean, with your love for voiceover work, doing children's theater and doing Shakespeare, that's just got to be a natural fit, too, with your voice in playing the role, the different roles.
Yeah, it definitely is. There's definitely a lot of hand-in-hand with both things.
Do you mind if I shift gears for a second?
Sure.
Now, people listening in may or may not know that I have Asperger's. And in the introduction, they heard that you are also on the autism spectrum. You were diagnosed with Asperger's when you were 13. And you and I were talking a little bit before we came on air about how people can't always tell that, or they're surprised when they hear that one's on the spectrum. And, of course, if you've met one person with autism or one person with Asperger's, you've met one person with autism. We're all different. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about your particular, experience with Asperger's. And I understand being diagnosed at 13, you had some time to, understand what that meant. And I was wondering what having the diagnosis means to you and a little bit about what your life was like growing up before and after the diagnosis.
Having a diagnosis, it really didn't mean all that much to me. To me, it was just kind of a name for, sort of why people reacted differently to me and why I had a few social awkward tendencies. Growing up, it was very, I was kind of bullied for it, although not extremely, but I was still kind of bullied. I did feel differently. I did kind of feel different from other kids. Wasn't very easy to make a lot of friends, and I didn't really kind of just went through life in my own head mostly. The diagnosis kind of made it more like obvious, like, oh, okay, so it's not just, it's not just me,
mm-hmm.
And it kind of opened that door, but it was really just it's a long process of me kind of, going to a school like Stambridge Academy, which was a great school for me. It was a school that works with kids with learning or social disabilities from, kindergarten through high school. And, the people there, it's a small school, so they really work with you one-on-one. And working with them, and then discovering, my talent for theater and, how that talent, people took notice of me and they really started liking me for it. And I kind of found my own niche and my own group of people that, I could be friends with. Because a lot of the times at Stambridge, you're either a computer whiz, like really smart, or you were kind of a jock. There weren't a lot of the artsy types there, so I kind of felt a little left out in a sense. But then once I got into acting, I met other people who were kind of more like me in that way, and, who were a lot more accepting of my oddities because, we're all kind of odd, actors in general. So,
Yeah, I think honestly, a lot of people on the autism spectrum do gravitate towards acting. So I think that there's quite a few Aspies in the acting crowd.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, you gravitated towards others that had similar characteristics, whether you knew diagnosis or not. It's more about finding yourself in the process along the way, finding things that you felt that you could be, you know, talented with and kind of letting your light shine.
Yeah, once you know what you're good at and once you learn to like yourself for it, because it's hard to like yourself when you feel like you're, you know, excluded and, you know, an Aspie and you don't really stand. But once you learn to like yourself and discovering what you're good at really helps, people will start to like you.
Mm-hmm. They sense that your self-acceptance, they sense that, you know, confidence and ability and kind of gravitate towards that energy.
Yeah.
I think that you would be really good at being able to share, you know, with other kids, in similar situations about acting and voiceover. And if we have any of the kids online that are thinking, gosh, you know, I'd really like to maybe get into voiceover work or I'd like to try out acting, do you have any suggestions for them on how they could go about doing that?
Sure. Most important thing, take classes. Find a school, that teaches acting, and learn from them. With acting, as with any job, it's never stop learning. And like I said, when I would not be able to do what I was well without, you know, learning from people who are in the business. So, you know, find a school that, you know, has teachers that have experience and learn from them, because I always think I still take classes at Voice One every now and then because there's something to learn. And with that thing, you know, and also an important reason to take classes from people who are in this, you open up connections with people. With acting, part is talent, having talent, able to do it.
John, I don't know. John, I think you might be cutting out a little bit. Can you repeat?
Oh, wait,
when you said, oh, no, you were fine. So if you could repeat your last sentence, that would be great.
Sure. Let me see. A lot of it, most of it is talent, but a lot of it is who you know in the business. And if you learn for somebody who is in the business and they get impressed with what you are, once you get an agent and you're ready to take off, they will remember you and they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that he was very well with other people and he's reliable, he works very efficiently. I'm not going to be able to get him for this project. Maybe there'll be something along the line. Or, you know, take a job, you know, work with people who, you know, might be, never know who's going to be very famous, you know, like the spectrum on. So if you establish a good relationship with other people, they could, you know, they could benefit you later on. And, let's see, there was this, I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say something, it'll come back to me eventually. But yeah, most of it is, the acting business is it's surprisingly a small world. And, you know, everybody, and eventually you'll know a lot of people. I mean, it's a small world, and once you're in it, you know, you'll be surprised at all the opportunities that come. You just got to break in there and get your foot in the door. And one of the best ways to do that is to take classes.
So starting out by taking classes and connecting with other people and remembering that you never know who you meet that might end up being a possible lead into, an opportunity for you down the road. So to treat everyone with respect and kindness along the way is a good thing as well.
Yes.
So I was just looking, John, I was looking at how much time we have left, and it's just a bit under 5 minutes, and I want to make sure to give our listeners a chance to be able to connect with you after the show. I know you have a website, johnincharacter.com, and I want also to give you that chance to give your overlord voice and a couple other quick little voices as well if you want to throw any of those in there. And give a chance, I'm going to give you a chance here to also plug anything that you have going on that we haven't covered.
Okay, I will start by saying if you want to get in contact with me, you can email me at info@geekclubbooks.com. Or visit my website at johnincharacter.com. Currently, I'm working on a one-man show for kids called Dork Tales. And my family is creating a book app series based on my real-life experiences. And everything will be on geekclubbooks.com very soon. I'm just doing a lot of stuff with my website. All right, let me give you a few voices just to wrap it up here.
It is I, the Overlord. Humans beware. Halloween Haunt is now upon you. Turn back now while you still can.
I am in a more peculiar position than I could possibly explain. I am a woman with a history.
Chayabra, it's like totally gnarly, dude.
Welcome to the great worlds. Come forth and know me better, my friend.
Yes, my client is no longer applied for this sort of thing at this time.
I had to cover my mouth because those were so awesome, but I didn't want to laugh and have everybody just hear my voice. That was great. You know, if we happen to have anybody in the industry who's listening in right now and they want to book you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, like I said, you can either email me at info@geekclubbooks.com or, can they email my website? Or you can email on my website, johncharacter.com.
Wonderful. That's really great. You know, I am so delighted that you took the time to come on air today. And we have about 2 minutes left, so I wanted to say if there's anything else that you wanted to share with us or plug, go ahead and go for it.
Like I said, I'm hoping to get done with my little one-man show. I'm in the process of learning the lines. And I hope that really takes off. And, yeah, I'm also looking forward to the book app series. It'll definitely be interesting and kind of a chance to go down memory lane for me, but in a more cartoony way. I mean, one of the things I always wanted to do when I grew up that I knew for sure was I wanted to be a cartoon character, that I wanted to be a cartoon, any kind of cartoon. So
how cool is that you get to be a cartoon character in a book app, and then you probably get to also do the voiceover for it as well, right?
Yeah.
So that's got to be neat. You know, I really think that it's great that you found your calling, your talent, something that you do that not only lets you shine, but it also pays the bills as well, and gives you an opportunity to connect with others that share the same love and passions that you do as well. So thank you so much, John, and I hope that in the future we might be able to have you back on. I know that we want to talk more about Geek Club Books as you guys come closer to launch, and come back and share some more voices with us.
I definitely will. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. I'm going to be signing off here shortly. This is Karen Krejcha with Autism Empowerment Radio. I have just interviewed Jonathan C. Murphy of John in Character, JONINCharacter.com. And he can also be reached at geekclubbooks.com as well. Please feel free to check his website out. And also connect with him on Facebook. He's a great guy. He has amazing talent, and it's been a real delight to be able to present him here today at Autism Empowerment Radio. Thank you very much, and please don't forget to tune in Friday to our next show when we'll be interviewing a scout on the autism spectrum who's an Eagle Scout and a mentor. Thank you very much.